Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the business school here at Car Talk Plaza.
Right, you get an MBA right here. This is from, evidently, a magazine ran a contest and asked people to submit quotes for real-life Dilbert-type managers.
Uh-huh.
We all know Dilbert.
And, well, not everybody. Dilbert is a comic strip that's probably in about half the papers in the country.
That's all?
Well, so I'm extrapolating. It's in half the papers in Boston.
So that's good.
What could be wrong with that logic?
Not a thing.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
You qualify. You could be a Dilbert manager yourself. Here are a few of the winning entries. One day, my boss asked me to submit a status report to him concerning a project I was working on. I asked him if tomorrow would be soon enough. He said, if I wanted it tomorrow, I would have waited until tomorrow to ask you for it. I worked for him once. Quote from the boss. What I need is a list of specific unknown problems that we will encounter. In my favorite, and it was their favorite too, because it came in first. Here's a note. As of tomorrow, employees will be able to access the building using individual security cards. Pictures will be taken next Wednesday, and employees will receive their cards in 2 weeks. It's like getting a two-week vacation.
Well, if you'd like to talk about something stupid your boss said, or something stupid about your car, or just talk in general, our number is 888.
Or just talk stupid in general.
Or just talk to a couple of stupid guys. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca in New Haven, Connecticut.
Hey, Rebecca.
Yes.
New Haven.
New Haven.
So what's going on?
Well, I have a question about my 1988 Chevy Sprint, the most poorly named car of all time.
What is a Sprint?
What is a Sprint?
I don't even remember the car.
It's a Geo Sprint. It was a...
Yeah, when you lift up the hood, it doesn't say Chevy. It says, like, something foreign.
Isuzu.
Yeah, which is... Yeah. So it's still going, barely.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can see that we're going to be a big help to you. I didn't even know what the car was.
No, but we do know it's Japanese, and we speak Japanese.
Okay, great. Well, I'm a graduate student, and we have a week for Thanksgiving break. And I'd really love to drive home to see my family in Indiana.
What are you studying there at Yale?
I am in the School of Management.
Oh,
so I'm
cool.
Studying for an MBA.
An MBA.
Yes.
The best degree you could ever get. Completely worthless.
Completely worthless.
Yeah.
No. I have a worthless degree in philosophy.
Nah.
From my undergraduate.
A philosophy degree will stand you in much better stead than the MBA,
and
which will only turn you into a yuppie, suspender-wearing, BMW-driving moron.
Right. Driving too fast.
Great.
Trust me. Notice how we cleverly brought her away from that Sprint question. Whatever it was going to be.
In another minute, you won't even remember why she called or to whom she's talking.
So which courses are you having the most fun with in this MBA program? Have you taken decision theory yet?
Yeah, we took game theory.
Did you cover Monopoly and all those?
Well, we did Monopolies in Monopoly game? The game of Monopoly?
Well, yeah.
Right, not Monopolies.
The first week was on Monopoly. We moved on to Parcheesi.
Parcheesi's good.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Checkers is good.
Checkers. Well, we had to move up, and the last, of course, was chess.
Oh.
But actually, chess is, game theory.
Yeah,
yes.
It is. Sure.
We've stonewalled you enough.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, Rebecca.
Oh, your 5 minutes is just about up. You're at 4 minutes, 56 seconds.
Wait.
Well, if you didn't squander your time, you would have gotten your question answered.
Yeah, what'd you have to talk about your silly MBA program for?
You think we care? Game theory. Parcheesi.
All right. You want to drive this thing to Indiana. How many miles is that?
How many miles is it?
Yeah.
A lot.
1,000?
15 hours, yeah. A little less than 1,000.
Yeah, 850 miles.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's old.
Yeah.
So
this might be an easy answer. See, the question, we don't know anything about this car, but the answer is quickly coming to me.
Yeah. Well, see, I had decided. I'm flying, and then I called the airline.
Oh.
And I thought, maybe I should reconsider. Because I've driven it to Indiana before. I drove it to Indiana last year from here. And I brought it in, and I said, guys, you know, can you check it out and tell me if I can drive to Indiana? But, you know, I hate to go in open season like that and say, hey, you
well,
know, take
you're
me
really
for a ride.
Bearing your soul there, and it's, yeah, making yourself very, very vulnerable.
Exactly.
Look, you've got 5 days, you already told us.
Yeah, I've got,
that's
yeah.
almost enough time to take Amtrak.
But, you know, the thing is, Amtrak costs almost as much as the plane.
So the real question is, how much can we lend you?
Exactly.
Is that the real question?
Exactly. Because yeah. I've already maxed out my parents.
Yeah. So what do you need, a couple of hundred?
Yeah, I am probably. Well, let's see, my loans.
Yeah, we can do that, 100 apiece. I'll donate $100.
Okay, well, no. I probably will just, you know, hunker down and buy the ticket home because it's important enough.
Because this is not a car that will sprint out to Indiana.
No, it doesn't sprint at all. It does go. I think it should be called the Chevy Go.
Yeah, maybe.
The Chevy Barely Go.
The Barely Go.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that answers my question. It's an answer I knew already.
Well, I'm proud to have been able to participate in this discussion.
And we'll send you the $200 right away.
Great.
Stay on the line, and Johnny will take your address and email.
Wonderful.
We'll electronically fund it to you.
Okay.
See you, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, fellas.
Hi. Hey. Who's this?
This is Chuck Crimmins from Perryville, Arkansas.
Hi, Chuck.
Perryville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down near Little Rock.
Near Little Rock.
Uh-huh.
So how's everything?
Beautiful. Beautiful fall weather. We're having a real nice day.
Oh, I'm sure.
What does fall weather mean down there?
Oh.
The deep south.
70s in the daytime, 50s at night.
That's nice, isn't it?
That is. Beautiful color, just like in the Northeast.
Yeah. It's great.
I mean, you guys have to rake leaves, too?
You sure do.
Oh, forget it. I'm not moving there. So what's up, Chuck?
I have an 84.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by that. I say that to everyone. I really do, honestly.
Heard it before. I have an 84 Subaru wagon.
No kidding.
I like to keep it in good condition and maintain it. It's a good little car. I was doing a simple job of just changing the spark plugs on it.
Mm-hmm.
Cross-threaded one of the plugs into that aluminum head.
Yeah, that's all right. How far in did you get it?
I got it about halfway.
Good enough.
Okay. That was my question. As I tried to tighten down further, I cracked the first plug and had to take it out, go get a new one, and put in the second plug.
Yeah.
In the threads that you had just made.
I was thinking, and I have to drill this thing out now? I have it gapped right, and I have it about halfway in, and it's extremely tight.
Yeah, it's good enough.
And it's not going to misfire?
No. Does it run? Have you tried to run it?
It runs okay. I haven't been able to do a full tank of gas to see about gas mileage, but it sounds good.
Well, if it's firing, it's firing. The risk that you run is that if it ain't good enough, you know what's going to happen.
I'm going to have a hole in the block?
No, you're not going to have a hole.
No, it's going to come flying out of that spark plug hole. The spark plug is going to come flying out like a bullet.
No, I guarantee you it will not come out if you've put it in as tightly as you say you've put it in.
It's torqued more than the other.
More than the other. So it's not going to come out. And the fact that those threads have locked in because you have that double inverted reflexive helix now working in your favor.
Right, you got three sets of threads.
It's like having left and right hand threads.
At the same time.
It's everything.
No, I mean, if you really wanted to be a purist, you could take this plug out and you could do one of two things. You can put a thread chaser in there.
Okay.
And try to make yet another set of threads that happen to be to correspond to the threads on the spark plug.
Okay.
And when you did that, you would drop a lot of aluminum filings into the cylinder, which would be hard to remove.
Okay.
When we run the chaser in there, we put grease on it. So we pick up most of the filings, but you never get them all. You try to blow them out with compressed air, but the rest of them end off getting pushed out the exhaust. You could do that. When you screw that up, you can put an insert in or a helicoil.
Okay.
Okay, but I wouldn't recommend either one. If you've gotten that thing halfway in,
right.
And unless it forces you to do something else,
okay, mm-hmm.
Leave it alone.
Okay.
I agree.
I mean, 160K, how much longer can it last? Another week or two?
Well, I hope a while longer, but that's what I wanted to know. If I'm okay just leaving it like that.
You probably are.
Okay.
Don't worry about it and keep smiling.
There are no guarantees with this, however. You probably are, Chuck.
Probably, okay.
Right, our lawyer has instructed to say probably with every
with every answer. I mean, if you're one of those guys who worries about everything.
Now, Chuck is not a worrier.
I can tell.
No, I'll take it kind of easy going with this.
Yeah, you sound like that kind of guy.
Okay.
In which case, forget about it.
Oh, no, okay. I think I'll leave it and take my chances with it.
Call us when it blows out, though.
Because it's going to be exciting, man.
Yeah, I'll let Dewey cheat him out. Wait a minute. All about it.
You don't have a bad heart, do you?
No, no, young man. I'm doing okay.
Excellent. Because when that thing blows, it'll knock those arteries right out.
Okay.
Good luck, Chuck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Ever been in a car when one of those went?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, I have.
Man, can that make noise?
Yeah, it's exciting. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi. This is Karis calling from Redmond.
Who?
Karis.
Karis. Like, we would know how to spell that?
C-A-R-I-S?
It's out of charisma.
So C-H-A-R-I-S.
Yes. Yes. Greek for grace.
Karis from Redmond.
Redmond, Washington.
I've heard of that place.
Small town.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So what's up?
I have a large white Chevy Caprice, 1984.
Yeah.
And it has a little bit of a problem when we come to a stoplight.
Yeah.
Big, large billows of, like, bluish smoke will come out the back end.
Cool.
And around the car. and I'm telling you, I mean, it's really embarrassing. It's mainly because I'm embarrassed. I mean, it isn't, like, you know, it's just, you know, yeah. people glare at you.
I know. Tell me about it.
My husband, you know, he wants to just, he won't fix it unless he can fix it with duct tape, you know. He won't, we're kind of cheap, you know.
So these puffs of smoke come from where? The tailpipe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
They're not puffs. They're billows, she referred to them as.
Billows.
The car is enveloped in
billows of blue smoke.
Yeah. Do people look at you funny when this happens?
Do they?
It's a source of embarrassment.
They glare at me because it stinks, and it just, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, they're environmentalists who just, you know,
Look down their noses at you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the reason that I stopped driving my 56 Chevy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the smoke would envelop the car. I couldn't even see the cars next to me after
a while. He had the only stealth Chevy in the nation. The only hope you have.
You're burning oil.
Yeah, you are burning oil, but you're not going to rectify that with duct tape.
Yeah,
I think the only hope you have is to change your wardrobe. You have to make these people that are currently looking down their noses at you feel sorry for you.
Exactly.
You have to dress like my brother dresses. When he used to drive his car, people would come over to him and ask him if he had a place to stay that night. Yeah.
People would throw loose change into the windows.
So if you look like a pathetic creature, then people will say, geez, that's all. I guess, you know, things are tough.
Right.
Are you willing to spend, like, $1,500 on this car?
Oh, God, no.
What,
are you kidding?
All right, how about
$550? It's probably not worth $1,500, to be honest with you.
Well, it will be once you put that rebuilt engine in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you need, and there's nothing... Nothing short of that is going to stop the clouds. Don't let anyone convince you that it's valve guide seals or anything else. I guarantee you, this baby needs a ring job.
Okay.
Wait, it might be time for Motor Medic.
You could try that, you know.
You guys want to come out here? It's
No.
No, Motor Medic is in a can.
Right, Motor Medic is a topical application.
$15.95.
Oh, not even.
Boy, I don't know.
You pour one can of this stuff. Actually, some of it comes in a bottle.
Where do I put it?
Well,
J.C. Whitney
does sell us stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
pills.
The pellets.
You remember the pellets?
I tried them, too. Get this. For $11.95, you get...
Plus $15 shipping and handling.
Yeah.
You get 8 magic pellets.
Okay.
And here's what you do.
Okay.
You take out the spark plugs.
All right.
You drop one pellet into each cylinder.
Okay.
Put the spark plugs back in and start it up. The pellets immediately vaporize and turn into a magic
piston rings.
Potion. They turn into piston rings, basically, right.
See,
and it stops all oil burning, increases compression.
And we'll even reupholster the front seat.
If that's what you need.
That would be wonderful. It just sounds too easy, though.
And the truth is, you might as well try all of these remedies.
Yeah.
None of which you've ever seen work. But
it would be less than $1,500.
Well, this will keep your husband busy for months.
He would just probably love that.
And also, when people give you the dirty looks at the stop sign, you can just yell back to them, "We're working on it." And you'll feel better for that well, because you'll know that you're not just going around driving this car in a cavalier way.
That's
Oh, it's a Caprice, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was a little Chevy joke there.
Oh, God.
But I mean, in fact, working on the solution to the problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I've had my passengers before roll down the window and apologize to people.
Yell out various things like, "We ordered the pallets today."
The pallets are in the mail.
Right.
Leave us alone.
We tried Motor Medic.
But you need the bumper sticker that says, "Don't sneer, this could be your car."
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Someday, if you get poor like me.
That's right.
Exactly.
One never knows. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
Good luck, Karis.
See you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Let me see. All I see is confusion. I see bafflement. Is there such a word as bafflement?
You're right. Last week's puzzler was a baffling and challenging mathematical puzzler.
Oh, the magic hat puzzler. Well, the way you asked it was kind of baffling.
Well, you try to answer it. But anyway, before I do that, I want everyone who's interested in the solution to go get a piece of paper.
And a pencil.
And a pencil.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a minute.
And I'm driving into Houston on a rain-slick Texas road. Land so flat and sky so dark, I say a prayer to float. Should all at once the San Jacinto surge beyond its banks, like Noah reaching higher ground, I'd offer up my thanks. 'Cause I'm a stranger here, no one you would know. I'm just passing through, I am therefore I go. The moon rose in the east, but now it's right above. As I say aloud, good night, America.
And even though David Ortiz heaves his World Series MVP trophy at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Well, this was a challenging, abstruse mathematical puzzler.
Man.
And understanding the question was not the least of the challenges.
I think this is going to be as big a puzzler as the behind the doors.
Oh, Monty Hall.
It's as counterintuitive and baffling to think that there is an answer, just that there is an answer, never mind what's the answer, just to believe that there is an answer.
All right.
Man.
I'm with you. Well, imagine there's a magical hat sitting on a table, and there are two contestants. You, Tommy, will be one of the contestants, and we'll call the other one Vinny. So you reach into the hat, and you pull out a number, and Vinny does the same. And the reason that this hat is magical is that no matter what number you pull out, Vinny will always pull out a number that is either one above or one below your number. You
got
with
it.
Me so far?
Yeah.
And to make it simple, we'll limit the numbers in the hat to between one and...
a million.
Let's say infinity.
Oh, infinity. All right.
So each of you pulls out a number. So let's say you pick three and Vinny picks two. I'm the moderator and I ask, do you know what number Vinny has? Tommy looks, you look at your number and you have number three and you say no. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask Vinny what number you have and he looks at his number and he says yes. Now, I stated that no matter what the numbers, assuming that both contestants answer truthfully and logically, I keep asking the question of each of them, so I go from you to Vinny to you again to Vinny, and as many times as it takes, eventually, one of them will know without a doubt the other contestant's number. Is that possible?
No, it's absolutely not possible.
Well, let's look at the example.
I thought this was not possible until you gave me the solution to it.
Okay, here's what I want our contestants at home to do. Take your pencil and paper and draw on your piece of paper five boxes starting at the top.
Five good-sized boxes,
yeah,
maybe an inch by an inch.
Yeah, or 2 inches by 2 inches, whatever.
All right, I got my boxes.
Okay.
I got five of them.
All right, and in the first box on the upper left, put the number one.
Yeah.
Upper right, number two.
Yeah.
and then right below that, reverse the digits, 2 and 1. So lower left 2.
In the next box. Oh,
no,
right,
same box.
In the same box, 2 and 1.
2 and 1. Okay, so then the box below is going to be 2 and 3. Upper
two,
left 2.
3.
Upper right 3.
Yeah.
Lower left 3.
Lower right 2.
The next box is 3 and 4, left to right.
And then 4, 3.
And then 4, 3, left to right on the bottom.
I've got that.
And then 4, 5, 5, 4. You see the trend.
I got the trend here. Okay.
So if you read from top to bottom on the left side, you'll get 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, 5, 6.
Got it.
And the right-hand column is 2, 1, 3, 2, 4, 3, 5, 4.
I have that.
Okay.
All right.
So let's say you're the left-hand column here. You're on the left.
I'm going to put a T above that for Tommy and a V above the other one.
So let's say you have 3 and Vinny has 4. I ask you, do you know what number Vinny has?
No.
I mean, no. I just told you. You have 3 and Vinny has 4. What are you, stupid?
Yeah. Oh, I know all of them.
All right.
No, but if you asked me, if I had a 3, I'd say I don't know.
Right, because Vinny could have either a 2 or a 4. You know, and
I don't know.
Okay. Now I ask Vinny, do you know what number Tommy has? He also answers no. Then I come back to you.
Because I could have a, he says I could have a 3 or a 5.
Right, so Tommy could have 3 or a 5 when Vinny has a 4.
Right.
I come back and I ask you again, do you know what number Vinny has? And you answer, yes.
I do?
Yes. How do you know? Well, let's go to the previous example.
Yeah.
Which is one up.
One up.
You have 3 and Vinny has 2. I ask you, do you know what number Vinny has? Just like the previous example that I gave, you have to say no.
Yeah.
But when I ask Vinny,
yeah,
what number, if he knows your number, he answers yes. Because if he has 2, you either have 1 or you have 3. Is that right?
Yeah.
If you had 1, you would have known right off what number he had.
Right. He'd have had 2.
He would have had 2. And because you didn't answer yes,
he
answers yes.
Because he knows.
Now, let's go to the first example I gave.
Yeah.
When you answered no the first time.
Yeah.
And Vinny answered no.
Right.
You knew he couldn't have 2.
Yeah.
Because if he had 2, he would have said yes.
Exactly.
And because he didn't answer yes, he must have 4. So when I ask you the second time, do you know what number Vinny has? You answer yes. And if you go to the next example, 4, 5, where you have 4 and Vinny has 5, believe it or not, it goes no, 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 no. Comes back to you, yes.
So depending on how many times you ask the question, and assuming no one says,
hey, I don't know.
You already asked me that question. Assuming no one says that, but just says, well, no, I still don't know.
Yeah, now if you're thoroughly confused by this,
yeah,
which everyone may be.
Everyone is.
You can go to the website and get confused again.
You go to cartalk.com and you will see a complete analysis.
So is our winner.
Who cares? What a question. The winner is John Peterson from Groton, Connecticut. And for having his answer picked at random. From the 3 correct answers that we got this week, we didn't get any correct answers. We just picked
no, we got
anyone,
John.
Anyone who submitted an answer. But John is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And with that $25, he can get our classic old-fashioned brass tire gauge. Ooh, yeah. This is the most serious tire gauge you can get. An old-fashioned dial gauge made of brass with a rubber protective cover and a sturdy hose coming off of it. It's so reliable, in fact, I use it to check my blood pressure, too.
Oh, yeah? What is your blood pressure?
32 PSI over 80.
I think you need to cut down on the salt. Anyway, we have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay with us. In the meantime, you can call us about your car at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Francis from Dallas.
Francis, with
yes.
An F.
No, P-H. P-H. Yeah.
With an F and a C-E-S.
Yeah. Yes, of course, we know.
Sure. How are you, Francis?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Do your friends call you Fran or Franny or anything like that?
Not if they're my friends.
Frankie?
Sometimes. That one I like.
Frankie.
Frankie.
With the K-I, huh?
K-I-E.
K-I-E.
Like Frankie and Johnny.
Right, exactly.
Got
great
it.
Movie.
I got it. A movie?
I like Francis. I like Francis.
Oh, I only know of the song. Anyway, what's up, Frankie?
I have a little sports car, and I love my sports car. I'm very emotionally attached to it.
What is it?
It's Mazda Miata.
Yeah.
But I have an opportunity to get a different sports car that I know I would really, really love too. And it's a bit of a family heirloom.
Oh.
It's a Porsche 944 83 with 75,000 miles on it. But here's the deal. The original owner is my uncle, and he recently passed away, but he was a mechanic all his life. So this car is spotless. If you lift the hood, it doesn't look like it's ever been driven.
Well, of course, the engine isn't even under the hood.
But it is gorgeous, and, you know, those are great cars. But with 75,000 miles on it, what is going to start breaking soon, and how much is it going to cost me to fix it? And how long will the car last? How many miles does it have in it?
Well, how many miles are on the Miata?
65.
And you're happy with the Miata?
I am.
I mean, you're more than happy.
Yes, I am.
Wow. Francis, this question is fraught with innuendo and all kinds of...
Intrigue.
I mean, this changes your image.
Exactly.
It changes everything.
Exactly. I'm glad you understand.
Holy
that.
Cow.
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah. Now, this is not just about whether or not the car is going to last another 75,000 or how much it's going to cost you to fix it, because you already know the answers to all of those questions.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, it's going to break every week. Yes, it's going to cost you $1 million to fix it. No, you will not be able to find anyone to fix it. What else is going to happen to it?
You're going to wish you had the Miata back, which never breaks down.
Right. It's going to be a lousy ride. You're going to hate it. It's uncomfortable.
Have you driven the car?
Yeah, not a long distance, but around, you know, a little short distance.
No, I mean, the 944 is I was going to say a wonderful car, but that's not the right word. It's a unique car.
Interesting.
An interesting car, and... there's a small number of people who want Porsches, and they are people who can't have anything else.
Or don't have anything else.
They are very strange people, I have to say.
Strange how?
Have you lusted after a Porsche all your life, or is it just a happenstance that brings this up and makes it a dilemma?
Well, it's sort of genetically encoded in my family that we lust for sports cars. My dad used to race Jags in the early 60s.
I mean, well, answer the following questions.
Okay.
Yes or no. Have you ever driven on the sidewalk for any reason?
No, not deliberately.
Have you ever wanted to run anyone over, especially someone over the age of 60 that was slow in crossing the street?
I've wanted to run people over, but not because they were slow crossing the street.
Okay. Have you ever attempted to run anyone over?
No, I have not.
You haven't, obviously, have not succeeded.
Yeah. Do you have a low self-image that needs to be bolstered? By the ownership of a fancy car?
I don't think so.
Do you have two or more ex-husbands?
I have one ex-husband.
One ex-husband.
Well, the Porsche is yours for the taking, is it not?
Pretty much.
I mean, why not have both of them?
Well, I only have a one-car garage.
I would stay away from this thing. I hate to tell you to do this. I mean, what's going to happen to it if you don't take old Uncle Harry's car? What's going to happen to it?
My cousin will sell it to a stranger. It'll leave the family.
Oh, then don't let your cousin get a hold of it.
Well, it's hers right now.
Yeah, see, it seems to me that you feel an obligation to take this car, even though deep down this is not you. I mean, that's the sense I get.
Oh, so your cousin's going to sell you this car.
Well, she's going to sell it to somebody.
You're not getting the car for zip. You're
going
to have to pay for it.
Correct.
Oh,
that changes
everything.
Tell her to stuff it.
Pay for it? Nah.
Nah.
Really?
I would stick with the Miata. I mean, this is not the answer you expected, is it?
No, it's not, but that's okay. That's why I called.
I think you'll be a much happier person if you stick with the Miata.
Excellent.
You know, I'll tell you what, if you should get the Porsche and you fell in love with the power and the authority of it, you would never be able to go back to a Miata. It's like if you've been driving Chevys all your life and all of a sudden you do something like you buy a Mercedes. You think you could ever go back to driving a Chevy?
Never.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Never.
I mean, that's why you can never buy a car like that, because you're done for.
And don't forget, you're going to turn off many males, because males are afraid of women.
Ooh.
Who drive Porsches.
Oh, yeah.
So since you've already dumped one husband, do you have a new husband?
No, I don't.
Well, you ain't going to get one driving around in that thing.
Well, most days, you know, I'm not sure I want another one.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. My poor wife, she thinks that every day.
Yeah. But it is definitely something to consider.
It is. Of course it is.
What, the husband or the Porsche?
Well, both. But yeah. I didn't think about the Porsche scaring guys off.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It is intimidating. Yeah, you're too fast for them. You're a jet setter. You identify yourself now as a jet setter.
Yeah.
And you're not going to attract the right kind of granola-eating, mountain-climbing, backpacking Jeep Cherokee owner that you really long for.
Good luck, Francis.
Stick with the Miata.
Thank you, guys. You're terrific. I
see
love
you.
You're terrific, too.
Bye. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK
or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Eric from St. Paul.
Eric.
Is that Eric with a K?
It's Minnesota.
Huh? Sure.
Yes, it is.
And it's with
Thank
a K.
You.
No kidding.
So what's going on, Eric?
Well, I have a practical and philosophical question involving a 93 Ford Escort with a blinky check engine light.
A blinky?
Well, it comes on and then it goes off.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
Well, when you say it comes on and then it goes off, like within
How
seconds
frequently?
Or?
Well, okay, what happens is it's a manual transmission, and of course the car's a dog. So to accelerate to freeway speeds and anything resembling the time allowed on an on-ramp, kind of have to play the accelerator pump, you know, keep the accelerator pedal moving down gradually, all that kind of stuff. And right when I get onto the freeway many, many times, pretty much all the time now, just as I shift from fourth gear into fifth gear, pull my foot off the accelerator pedal, check engine light comes on. Just about every time.
I love it.
The thing is that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, it'll go off in about 2 minutes.
Mm.
And the question is, what's wrong with the car, and or does it matter? I mean, does this mean anything?
Does it matter? Yeah. Mm. Does it matter? That's the real question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then while you continue to drive, it stays off?
It stays off.
And it's when you've shifted into fifth gear.
Right. The moment I take my foot off the accelerator pedal after having it, I move it gradually down and it's full wide open and I'm ready to go into fifth. Foot comes off, bump, light comes on.
Right. It's before
you put it into fifth gear.
Right. Before it's actually in fifth, yeah.
Right. It's actually what does it is backing off on the gas
backing
pedal.
Backing off on the gas pedal. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what it is, but I will almost guarantee you that the answer to your second question is it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Is that the answer you want to hear first?
That's all he wants to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching my gas mileage, and you know, nothing seems to be wrong with it, so I assumed nothing matters.
No, what's going on, I believe, is that your oxygen sensor, which is going to be as old as the vehicle itself.
As 93, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't process all the
things that I have.
Yeah, it can't process all the influx of gases that it's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sending the wrong signal to the computer, and that's turning on the light.
I like this.
When you stop accelerating and you return the thing to cruising speed, the oxygen sensor, which is barely functioning, can now return the thing to normal operation.
I'll give you a test.
And the light will go out.
I know a test for this.
Okay.
Next time you do this, don't take your foot off the accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
You can shift, you know, you step on the clutch, put it into neutral and get it into fifth gear without letting off the accelerator. And you can do that without grinding gears.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll bet you the check engine light won't come on.
He's going to blow the engine.
No, because you won't be upsetting the oxygen sensor. The oxygen sensor won't know what's going on. And you will have sneaked into fifth gear without the oxygen sensor knowing it.
Why don't you start off in fifth?
An Escort?
Who needs five gear?
Go first, second, third, fifth. Skip fourth. But I think it's the oxygen sensor.
I think it's
just getting overloaded due to the rate of acceleration. And if you accelerated more gently, it probably wouldn't even come on. But you could have the thing changed. It's cheap.
It is cheap.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
But to verify our diagnosis, someone's going to have to hook up a machine to it, a scanner.
Okay. Yeah,
I got the sense that Eric with a K isn't going to do that.
No, he just wanted some reassurance. That
it wasn't told gonna, me it wasn't important.
It wasn't going to blow up.
It's not important.
See you, Eric.
Right,
hey, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tom, you know what it's time for now?
Is this when the president of NPR comes running into the control room, bangs his head on the glass, and demands our resignations?
No, that was earlier in the show. This is where
he's been here already.
This is where we take a short break and get ready for the new puzzler.
Ah, yes. We'll be back in just a moment.
Car's packed, tank is full, we're all climbing in. Wait a minute, make sure we don't forget that mandolin. We're going down to Juno, it's the springtime of the year. Things are fine except for that ringing in our ears. Boil the cabbage down, boys, pass that mando round. The only tune that Liam played was Boil the Cabbage Down.
And even though all the creamers in the NPR fridge simultaneously curdle whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. And this is a quasi-automotive puzzler, I believe.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Wouldn't you say so?
Quasi-automotive. Yes, master. Yes, master.
Some years ago, my family and I went on a little ski vacation, and we spent the first day...
Ski vacation? You've never been on a ski vacation in your life.
This is a puzzler. No, we did. We went on a little ski vacation in the mountains.
Oh, little skis.
Little skis.
About a foot long?
1 foot. Snowshoes, actually. And we, my wife and children and I went on a little ski vacation in the mountains.
Yeah, okay.
And we spent the first day hitting the slopes, so to speak. Yeah. I did most of the hitting with my face. And after that first day, we decided...
And your butt.
No, face, mostly.
Mostly face, yeah.
Decided to spend the next day in the more familiar and congenial surroundings of the heated pool.
Good idea.
And while we were there, we were sitting there, the four of us, in our chairs, crying out, "Towel boy!" And a group of four people, another family, started walking toward us, and my younger son noticed that there were two very cute teenage girls, blonde-haired teenage girls, walking in front of what I would assume were their parents.
Yeah.
And my son studied them for a few moments, and as they drew closer, he said to me, "They're Australians, you know."
Wow.
And I said, "Oh, you've met them?" And he said, "Oh, no. They're as strange to me as are my textbooks." And I said, "Oh, and so you've overheard them speaking?" He said, "Oh, no. But I know they're..."
Never saw them before in my life.
Never laid eyes on them.
Okay.
And as luck would have it, they come and sit right down next to us. And before they have a chance to utter a word, he leans over and says to them, "Pretty long way to come from Australia to do a little skiing." And the father says, "Huh?
Hi, matey."
And he says, "You're right, mate. It sure is."
Wow.
And it wasn't the Crocodile Dundee t-shirts that gave them away.
Wow.
Either.
Wow.
Now, you have all the information you need.
Yes.
And I might add a significant hint.
Don't tell them where the hint is.
Well, I don't know where it is. Oh. But I think there's a hint in there.
A hint?
Now, if you
think... I want to just say the hint was brilliantly delivered.
Executed. Now, if you think you know the answer, or you're basically shut in and you don't have to talk to anybody, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA02238. Or you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com. If you'd like to talk to us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I live in beautiful Los Angeles.
Los Angeles?
That's right. And
so, I was just going to ask you, are you in any way associated with the entertainment industry?
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, yeah. You know how I knew?
No.
Your voice. You have
a theatrical voice.
Kind of voice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you do.
What?
You have a future in movies. Who is this? Steve who? Are you a famous person?
No.
No, you're not. Well, you will be one of these days. Keep up with that waiting job, waitering job, and someday your ship will come in. Okay. Next caller. Hello.
Hello. Is this Steve from Los Angeles?
Hey, you're on Career Talk. So what's up, Steve?
You guys got to bail me out here. I'm in a bit of a fix.
Uh-oh.
I have a...
Your wife, girlfriend, or both?
Well, it has to do with my wife, actually.
Uh-huh.
I have a 1985 Volvo 740 GLE.
Mm-hmm.
It started a couple of months ago where the temperature gauge drops to zero. In other words, drops as if it were cold while it's running, while I'm driving. And at the same time, the oil pressure light comes on faintly. Now, when this first happened, obviously, the oil pressure light comes on, you stop the car immediately and check the oil. There's nothing wrong with the oil. There's enough oil, and the pressure's fine.
Wait a minute. How do you know the pressure's fine?
Because the engine hasn't seized, and he knows.
I believe that it is
fine. The fault is electrical.
Yeah.
Don't you, Steve?
Sure.
It is probably. And the other thing is that it's never come on more than a very faint brightness.
Yeah.
At any rate, I told my wife that I could. This was not a problem. It was something electrical, and I could fix it, no problem.
Yeah. And she said, you're going to wreck the engine, and I'll never speak to you again, you moron.
Well, there was that, plus the fact that I haven't been able to find it. I have secretly taken it now to three different places.
Secretly?
I'm going to buy parts.
Oh, so you could, like, some Saturday, just stand there in the driveway with the hood up and say, ah! I've got it, hon. Here is the wire, and bingo, it's working.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And you want us to help you perpetrate this fraud?
Well,
love to.
I'll be happy to fix it myself. It's just that I haven't found it. The guys at the shop have been in three times. Mm. They can't fix it, and they're now starting to threaten to charge me by the hour to look for it, you know, at $85 an hour.
Well, that's what they get. Hey, want to move to L.A.?
Wow. 85, huh?
85.
That's for two guys, right?
No, that's for one guy. That's not to fix it. That's just to look for it.
That's just to look for it, yeah.
When you took it to these places, did these guys indicate that they knew anything about how this stuff worked?
Oh, yes. Two of them were Volvo dealers.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yeah.
Are the temperature gauge and the oil pressure gauge right next to each other?
The oil light.
It's an oil light.
It's a light. Oh, it's a light.
And they, are they close to each other on the?
They're on the same dashboard.
Well, we know that,
but they're not contiguous. For example,
that's correct.
And when this happens, does the gas gauge do anything?
Nope. Nothing else.
Then it probably is not the voltage regulator. Gee, this is a tough one.
Well, he's
got to bail him out because his wife is going to think he's a moron.
Yeah, otherwise.
Well, I'd rather have her think he's a moron than us.
I tell you what, I'll keep your names out of it.
Yeah, keep my names out of it.
I mean, she doesn't know that I've called you.
Well, yet.
Well, so she just won't listen for a while.
Okay.
They're not on anymore.
They're not on anymore.
I don't like them anymore. Right.
They gave too many wrong answers. They couldn't help anybody. NPR canceled.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to lean toward it being in the instrument cluster.
Mm.
I think so. And I think the easiest thing for you to do is go to the junkyard and buy a new instrument cluster.
Wow.
Really?
Spend $50 or whatever.
And 2 days putting it in.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't know what it's like here in L.A. You can't buy anything in a junkyard that has Volvos for $50.
All right, we'll mail you one. What is it, an 85?
85.
What's your odometer read?
What would you like it to read?
Just turned 150, actually.
Just turned one.
How about 39.9?
What would you pay for one that read 85,000? Would you pay $300, Steve?
Probably. I think it'd be worth it.
No, on the other hand, I think you might do better off going to a shop that specializes in electrical stuff.
Okay.
Rather than Volvos.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's obvious that this is a problem they haven't seen before.
Mm.
And that's the only reason for going to the dealership, that they won't have to scurry around saying, what the heck is this? But if they're doing that anyway, what's the sense of going there and paying them $85 an hour? You can pay an electrical guy $85 an hour, and he'll find it in an hour.
I mean, I don't pay my psychotherapist that much.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's why he's not helping you. But
how can you tell? I mean, have you tried the time-honored method of whacking it with the back of your hand?
I have whacked it to the point where I shook the mounts for the radio loose, and I've got a crack in the dashboard.
Oh, that's too bad.
But when the thing goes down, does it stay down for a long time?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, it's now been down permanently for, a week and a half.
Oh, perfect. This is the time to...
Oh, thank you.
This is absolutely the time to get it into somebody, because they're going to figure out it's the printed circuit board on the instrument cluster.
That's really?
Yeah. And they're going to figure it out by popping in a new one. They're going to figure it out in 15 minutes. That's what you... Yeah. Now that we love these problems. When the stuff is really broken, any idiot can fix it, including us. And them too. But when it's intermittent, it's very hard to figure it out because you don't know if you fixed it.
Okay, now I'm going to just give you one last piece of advice.
Uh-oh.
You're sitting behind the wheel, okay?
Yeah.
Close your hand into a fist and put your hand under the steering wheel, just about in the center of the steering column,
right,
and swing it briskly to the right. And smash into the side of that console where the radio is?
Yes.
Just once. I don't know why. That just came to me. You just try that. I don't know. That was an idea unencumbered.
By the thought process.
By the thought process.
Make sure your knee's out of the way, Steve.
Yeah. And take the coffee cup out of your hand before you try this. Hey, good luck, Steve.
Go for the instrument cluster.
I'm going to try that, but we're going to have to play Stump the Chump on this one later.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right.
I especially want to hear about the boom on the side of that console.
We'll keep you in mind, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
It is embarrassing, though, when you've told your wife, don't worry, hon, this is nothing, I can fix it. And then weeks go by.
Yeah, I know, especially when you're taking it to the Volvo dealer and they haven't figured it out.
You've tried every piece of skullduggery possible.
This is another example of how guys get themselves in trouble by lying to their wives. And you know what it is? It's all ego.
Oh, of course.
It is.
Especially when it comes to mechanical things.
Yeah.
I can take care of that, hon.
And it's always embarrassing when your wife says, doesn't that bolt turn the other way? 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jody. I'm from Portland, Oregon.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Great.
I'm really glad to talk to you.
Same here.
What can we do for you?
All right, well, listen, I got a car problem, but I also want to tell you something. I'm in my last year of acupuncture school.
Yeah.
And I want to know what point to hold or to needle to cure this car problem.
Like, what I want to know.
What's the source of all chi in a car?
Does acupuncture work on tires?
Acupuncture work on tires?
Wouldn't that be sort of, as they say, self-defeating?
Depends on if you want excess or deficiency treated.
All right, what's wrong with the car? I'll give you the acupressure point.
All right. I took it into the garage for a tune-up, and it's a Honda, 1988 Honda Accord LXI. It's black.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make any noise in the engine, but when I picked it up, now it makes noise in the engine. And it's like a tick, 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 tick noise. But before, it was really quiet.
Uh-huh.
What did they do when you had it in the garage?
They charged me a lot of money, for one.
Did they adjust your valves?
Yeah. Yeah, they gave me what they was called a tune-up. I don't have the...
And the lube job. Right.
But do you know that they adjusted the valves? Is that on the slip?
No, I don't know that they adjusted the
valves. How much did they charge you?
$316.
Yeah.
My guess is they adjusted the valves, too. I mean, that would be an incredible amount of money for just a tune-up. And they screwed them up.
They did?
They did it wrong.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's easy to do wrong. It's got too many. First of all, why do they need so many valves? I think it's got like 100 valves per cylinder. I mean,
since
the days of Julius Caesar, we survived on 2 valves per cylinder, 1 intake, 1 exhaust. We did all right with that.
If you adjust the valves too loose, meaning that you make the clearance too big, then what happens is they do clickety-clack.
Oh.
Right, and believe me, it's very easy to do these wrong, these multiple valves per cylinder. Well, because all cylinders have multiple valves, or just more than 2. This has 4 valves per cylinder.
Multi-multiple.
And it's easy to screw them up, and I'll tell you from experience, I know, because I have screwed them up myself. and you put the thing all back together. You don't know you screwed it up until you've got the valve cover on. You start the engine, you hear tick, 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 and you say, "Oh,
you cry."
Take it back.
Yeah.
You think they'll do it for free?
They'd better.
They have to do it for free.
Well, right. What if I want to pursue alternative medicine for my car?
Ah. Do you want to know the acupressure points for these valves?
The pressure right. point is you have to stick your finger at them on the mechanic's chest. You know that one point? Say, listen,
say, I'm
buddy.
Not paying for this again. And you keep poking them right there in the chest, right above the left ventricle.
That's the spot.
Above the left ventricle?
Yes. And that will fix it. In about 2 hours.
Good luck, Jody.
Good question.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, Jody, before you go.
Yeah.
Want to write a book together?
Want to write a book?
Let's write a book together.
I got it. Fine. I'd love to.
Acupuncture points for the car.
That would be perfect.
Send us a sample chapter and $100 and we'll think about
no,
it.
No, send us 10 sample chapters.
Thanks for calling, Jody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Zanzibar Caviar Steak Tartare, Vichy Soise, Malamar, Power Bar, and Cheap Cigar Dinner Car, come as you are, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our anger management counselor is Tara... Oh, no. Our Russian chauffeur, our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropov. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne-Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne-Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne-Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne-Diaz, and a two-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Payne Diaz. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Harvard professors wearing tweed Red Sox World Series champion T-shirts as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1344, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, our new guide to alternative fuels.
Yeah, everything you always wanted to know about running your car on ethanol, biodiesel, or Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
Actually, it's just straight vegetable oil, not Filippo Berio.
Hey, you want your car exposed to trans fat? That's your business, pal.
All right, I give.
That's the Car Talk Guide to Alternative Fuels this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Kathleen Sebelius thinks, gee, my radio sounds glitchy whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.